Well, we have been talking as a church about the kingdom of God that's growing, that God's kingdom is expanding and growing by leaps and bounds. And his kingdom, when it touches our lives, takes over our life. Scripture says that his kingdom is like a treasure that's worth everything. It's like a seed that gets planted and keeps on growing. It's like yeast that works through every bit of the dough and makes the bread rise. The kingdom of God is like a giant net that comes down into the earth and grabs all kinds of people. Not just one kind of fish, but all kinds that he brings in. The good news of Jesus Christ is being proclaimed, liberating people, setting people free, delivering people for the last 2,000 years. And the prophecy before was that of the increase of his government and peace, there would be no end. We've been talking about this. We've been proclaiming this. We've been analyzing this. We've been looking at God's wonderful growing kingdom. What more can we say? We've stood before him as a church and we've said, we surrender. Lord, send me. I'm willing. And we are. So what more can be done? What more can we say? I think now is the time to do. Now is the time to roll up our sleeves and do. But as we talk about that, let's remember, those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. Psalms, unless the Lord builds the house, the labor is labor in vain. In vain you get up early, in vain you stay up late. The Lord grants rest to his beloved. These are the promises of God. But there is a part to do in the kingdom. Not just sit around and talk about it, but there's a part to be in the growing kingdom. How is it that we as Christians, how is it that we as followers can flourish and bear fruit? What does it mean for us to be involved in the harvest? What does it mean for us to be fruitful in our personal lives, in our family life, in our marriage, in our workplace? What does it mean that God's fruit is living in our life and demonstrated by our life? Now, just look together as a congregation at three essentials that each of us need. Three essentials that God wants us to be plugged into in order to be fruitful in the kingdom. But I want to do more than just look at that. We're going to pray together as a church. We're going to spend some time, maybe even a half an hour if I talk fast, praying together as a church, asking God to do what he wants to do in Vancouver. To do what he wants to do in our community. In the neighborhoods where we live, the schools that we attend. I had an interesting experience last night when I was praying. And to cut a long story short, the Lord just said, but this is the neighborhood that I want to do something. And God is just, again, speaking to me about his desire to do something in the peoples around our area here. The peoples where we live. Yes, there's a work to be planted in Trail. Yes, Andrew and Rochelle are going to go there. Yes, maybe two or three other couples that we're praying would be God would speak to among in our church. Nobody else has said yes. Nobody else has put their hand up. We haven't been pushing. But we're praying that God would send a group of people from our church to plant a new congregation in Trail. Yes, Jean-Marie and I are going to the Congo soon. Yes, we believe that there's a connection with Reuben there. But God wants to restore the broken city that we live in as well. And we want to pray today. We don't want to just be doing. We don't want to just be burning the candle at both ends. We don't just want to be organized. We want to be those who hear the word of the Lord. And so before I go to the three essentials that each of us need, I want to just take you to two verses in Deuteronomy that the Lord took me to last night. Three verses. Deuteronomy chapter 32. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, book number 5. The song of Moses. Moses, at the end of his life, knowing that after he dies, Israel will go through many rebellions. God has already revealed to him that that's going to be the case. He knows that their hearts are not fully set on the Lord. But there's an interesting part here in verse 7, 8, and 9. In the midst of that, he's proclaiming God who is perfect, but he's recognizing that many people foolishly walk away from him. And then he says this: "Remember the days of old. Consider the generations long past. Ask your father, and he will tell you. Your elders, and they will explain to you. When the Most High gave the nations their inheritance, when he divided all mankind, he set up boundaries for the people, according to the number of sons of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people, Jacob, his allotted inheritance." God had a plan because of his people, his own portion, the people that he had chosen out of Egypt to be with him. God had a plan. And Moses is saying, remember the old days. And now go do something about it. Ask your fathers. Ask your elders. Let them explain to you. And that caught my attention. We're going to look at three essentials that we all need. But then we're going to pray together in groups. And I want some of you older ones to tell us what to pray for. So I'm going to pick a few of you, and God's going to give you something in the next 10 minutes for us to pray for. So I'm going to pick on Arnold and Fred and Don and Walter and Art. You just turned 60. No, you didn't. What was your birthday? You did. All right. You've arrived. So Walter, Art, Arnold, Fred, and Don, can you just think about what is it that we need as a congregation for God to help us with? What is it that we can pray into, that we can say, Lord, we want to be fruitful in your harvest. We want to see revival come to our areas, to the places where we live. We want to be fruitful as a congregation, as a church. What do we need? Because it's not going to come from us. It's going to come from him. So just in the next 10 minutes, if you could think about that. And then Alan Nakano is going to write down a few word summary of what you say. And we'll put it on the overhead and we'll pray together. All right? Three things, though, that all of us need. Turn to Psalms chapter 1. Put your finger there. Romans chapter 12, put your finger there. And Psalms 92, and put your finger there. Psalms chapter 1, Romans 12, Psalms 92. Could somebody read Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 to 3 for us? Who could stand up and read that in a loud, clear voice? Psalms chapter 1, Derek. The word of the Lord. Every follower of Jesus needs the word of the Lord. The psalmist calls it the law of the Lord. That's what they called the Old Testament that they had, the first five books that we just read from. We live in a day when the New Testament has been written also. We also live in the day where John says about Jesus, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked or stand in the way of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in our day, we go beyond Psalms. His delight is in the word of the Lord Jesus. His delight is in Jesus, who says it's better to, Jesus who said, "You are my friends if you obey what I command." As many as are the sons of God are they that hear the Spirit of God, follow the Spirit of God. So we live in this day where the word of the Lord is living. He's with us. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. And every Christian needs one essential in his life, the word of God. Everything written and everything present living with us in Christ Jesus. He is the one who is like a tree planted by streams of water. This is the person who Scripture says will yield its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Which person? The person who delights in God's law and not in the counsel of the wicked. Let's not forget about verse 1. We live in a day where the counsel of the wicked has so much opportunity if we turn it on or read it or watch it. It's our choice to walk in the counsel of the MP3 video, magazine, television, movie. It's our choice to walk in the counsel of the wicked or to delight in God. The first ingredient that each of us needs, if we want to bear fruit, is to have God's word in us, living and active. Go to sleep with your headphones playing his word. It only costs $40 for the whole Bible. $11 for the whole Bible now. Go to sleep with your MP3 player playing God's word if you want to. Fall asleep reading it. Read it as a family. And don't stop there. Follow his voice, Jesus, the word, applying this to every present situation. Number two, the second essential that we need, his body, the church. In order for a Christian to be bearing fruit, she needs the body of Christ. Because no one person has been entrusted with everything. The body, as Charlie led us in breaking of bread this morning, is made up of many parts. Like this loaf of bread, many different pieces brought together makes the one loaf. So it is with Christ. None of us are the full sum total of Christ. We know in part. We see in part. We understand in part. Someday we'll see him face to face. But right now, this ain't heaven. This is the first fruits. It's really great, but it's just the first fruits. There's a lot more to come. Bad things happened down here. By the way, Margaret Birch fell and her arm is in a cast. I don't know exactly what all is wrong, but bless her. Go give her a phone call today. But bad things happen here. This isn't heaven. That's yet to come. And in the meantime, God has given us the body of Christ. And if we're going to be fruitful, Ephesians 4 puts it this way. Keep your finger in Romans. Ephesians 4 puts it this way. Speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Not each gear or each drive shaft or each piece of metal, but as each person does its part. That's how the body of Christ grows. As each member does the work that God has entrusted to you. The portion. We take the loaf of bread today, we break it up, and we say, yes, Christ is in each of us. Yes, we feed on him. Yes, he is our strength. Yes, he's my life. Yes, he's all that matters. And yes, he has entrusted to me a part to play in his kingdom. The whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. The body of Christ, the church of Christ, it says, grows and builds itself up in love as Jesus does things. No, it doesn't say that. As each part, as each person does its work. We as a congregation, the Church of Vancouver, the church worldwide, is only as strong as its people. We will only be as fruitful as the sum total of our individual obedience to the word of Christ in our part. The kingdom has been shared with you. Romans 12. Who can read for us? Somebody could read for us from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. Thank you, Austin. The body of Christ, each one of us different. We're not all meant to be like Jim Thompson. We're different. But each one has a part uniquely entrusted to us. Thirdly, Psalms 92. Thirdly, the essential of dwelling in His house, dwelling in His presence. If we don't have the presence of God, we can be like the Pharisees who knew His word inside and out, but didn't have relationship. We can be brilliant students. We can have doctorates of theology. But Jesus said in Corinthians, Paul said in Corinthians chapter 13, but if you have not love, it's nothing. It's just a resounding gong without love. We don't have love. We don't have relationship unless we're in God's presence. We need His word. We need His church. And the third essential that each of us needs is to dwell in His presence. If somebody could read verses 12 to 15. Psalms 92, verses 12 to 15. The psalmist is contrasting the wicked and the godly. But there's a key here for what it means to grow and to flourish. Matthew. Amen. Amen. The people who flourish and bear fruit in their old age, verse 12, are those who are planted in the house of the Lord. If you're planted in God's presence, you will someday proclaim, you will someday testify. Look at this quote of verse 15. The Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there's no wickedness in Him. I don't know if it was 2 years ago or when it was that John Chamberlain, when you were first diagnosed with MS. But it was around that time and over the next 6 months that several times when I visited John, he didn't quote this verse, but he would just say something like, I find no fault with God. And it always kind of caught me off guard because it seemed out of context. Like, why is he telling me that? But in the midst of the diagnosis of MS, his testimony again and again was, I find no fault with God. He's God. He's Lord. His work is perfect. That happens to people who are planted in God's presence. People who are growing as a tree in God's house. An essential that every single one of us needs. It's not just a head knowledge of His word, not just a country club with a church, but to actually be in the presence of God. To walk in His presence, to know Him. We can have the other two and have not the presence and still miss what we need to grow and to flourish. Three things: feeding on God's word and the living word of Christ. Being joined to the people of God, playing our part and receiving all the other parts that we don't have. And being planted, dwelling in the house of God, living in His presence. I want us to just pause for a moment. And those of you that I asked to give us things to pray for, May the Lord help you to put it down. I know it's hard for me. It's hard for me to say something to somebody who keeps on talking. So if you don't have anything, don't feel under pressure. It's okay. But the question is, Lord, what is it that we as a church at West Coast need to ask you for to be fruitful? What does God need to do among us to make us fruitful? To see lost people becoming Christians? To see husbands loving their wives? To see wives submitting to their husbands? To see parents training children? To see the joy of the Lord? To see honesty in business? This is all the fruit of the Lord. It's not just people getting saved. There's lots of things that are the fruit of the Lord. Father in heaven, Moses told your people to ask the fathers and they would tell. To ask the elders and they would know. Lord, we want to seek your face today as a church. Would you help Walter and Art and Arnold and Fred and Don to be able to put into words what you've touched in their spirit? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Walter, what would you say to that question? Just 1 minute. Just 1 minute. Charlie, could you take the microphone? Now, just stay behind that speaker there.
Yeah. I was saying that there would be a lot of things to say, that, but directly to my heart and to my mind comes, first of all, when you first asked this, first of all, I'm looking at myself, not so much on the church as on myself, what I lack and I would like more of in order to channel that to the church and the people we relate to through the days of work or otherwise. But what I lack in my spiritual life most, what I would think is of hearing of God.
Okay.
How comforting it would be if every time I have put my request before the Lord, I would hear of Him, oh, so directly. I mean, there's times when you read your word where you could really hear Him as you read. We've had times like that. But if one, I know it's not possible to hear it audibly, but in order to hear, we need to listen. And on and on and on it goes. You know, it's a chain reaction. And if you're not obedient, you won't read. And this is how you step up and step up. But to hear from God in the world right now that is throwing things at us more than ever before, especially through the new technology, we hear voices and voices and voices. And some may sound like very, very close to our Savior's voice. So close, so close. The evil one is so good at it and imitating these voices. But if we spend enough time and do our time with God, we will have. And this is where I, looking at myself, I lack time for the Lord. There is time for so many other things. But the time for the Lord is sort of, in comparison, I would be shameful to say how many, comparing to the 24 hours that we have, to admit how much that is.
Wonderful. Hearing God's voice. The desire to hear God's voice. Thank you. And Art? Maybe if you can step up to the edge there so people can see you.
Okay. what I wrote down was clarifying of our personal vision and our corporate vision as a church, so that we invest our time, our energy, and our resources in that which God has planned for us, rather than in those things that reflect just our own ideas and preferences or the expectations of others. And that's because there will never be enough time, energy, and resources for doing God's will and doing our own thing. So that's something I think, is reflecting of my personal challenge thinking for this year, but I sense that it's also for us as a church.
Thank you. Clarifying our personal and corporate vision. Arnold's over here. He's coming.
That the cares of life will not cause our hearts to grow colder, but that our hearts might remain warm and soft and sensitive to Him. That our love for Him will not grow colder, but will grow warmer.
Amen. Amen. The cares of life. Fred's here.
I feel we should pray that to have the desire to be in the Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And if we have accepted Christ as our Savior, He gives us His promise. And we can be in the Holy Spirit. And when we're in the Holy Spirit, things of eternal importance and import happen. My personal experience is this doesn't happen very often. But it is possible. And it has a huge impact. And it's not necessarily something profound, but looking back on the times when you could say you were in the Holy Spirit, it was something very important to have.
Mm.
Perhaps just a word or an action. But desire to be in the Holy Spirit.
Desire to be in the Holy Spirit. Thank you. And then Don.
I'm thinking about the people in this area beyond the church here and Psalm number 1 where it says delight in the Lord that we are to delight in the word, and I just want to pray and challenge you to pray that that the people of this area will develop a divine curiosity for what is in the Scripture, and as they seek to find the answer to that, that they will begin to delight in the Word. And then also in Romans 12, where it talks about our very gifts, that as people read the Scriptures and delight in it, that they will sense which of the gifts God has given them that they should use in His service and how they should use those gifts. And here, we're at different stages, you know, many different age groups here. And so at every stage of our lives, the question that I have, and perhaps some of you have, is how does God want us to use our gifts at this time?
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do, Alan Nakano has written this down for us. He's probably painted some pictures beside it for us as well. No, he just has my little water marker. It won't do that. And we're gonna break into small groups and pray. And I'd like, Walter, if you could just have a group there, and Wayne Boddy and David Chen, you can move some chairs out of the way there. And people kind of in that area can gather around Walter and pray. And Fred and Deanna, if you could kind of come over here by where David Ferguson is, and then we'll kind of have a group that gathers around the drum set and makes more. By the way, that was Aiden, not Leonard, who was playing around earlier. And then Art and Margaret, if you could just have a group in the alcove there. And Arnold, if you could have a group right here, and maybe Johannes and Alan just kind of move some chairs to make room for you right in that area. And Don, did I mention you yet? I think, Don, if you go back by Mike McKay and open the doors to the storage room, I mean the entrance, the junk room, and you could be over there. So, we'll turn on the overhead, and I'll get us started in just a minute. But let's stand up, and let's move in about 30 seconds to where we need to go, and then we'll lead off here. I will move us from one point to the next, but to start with, let's pray about what Walter said, hearing God's voice. Worship team, come. And let's close in one song together. We can just stay where we're at and turn and face the front. This list here, we'll put it back up afterwards. Can I encourage you to remember these 5 points and pray about this throughout the week? Just write down these 5 points that various ones have given us. And let's take it to the Lord throughout the week and ask the Lord to meet with us. Lead us all in one corporate prayer. Father in heaven, we are your people. And what a privilege it is that you have called us the children of God. Father, we do want to be involved in your work. Lord, you have made each one of us specifically different from one another. You've given each of us a part of your grand plan. Father, we don't want to be like those who took the talent and hid it in a hole. We want to be like those who just gave it, like the seed that was planted, and you caused it to grow. Father, we want to be involved in your heart, in your vision, in your kingdom. I pray, Lord, that you would give each of us a desire this week to be feeding on your word and blocking out the counsel of the wicked. Lord, that we would turn off the counsel of the wicked and that we would use wisely the time that you've entrusted to us to hear your word. Father, I pray that you would search our hearts about our relationship to your body, about our relationship to your church. Father, you have caused us to be joined one to another. And there are people who will not grow without what we have being given to them. Lord, there's ways that we will not grow without people giving to us. And Lord, we as a congregation and we as the people of Vancouver will not see your kingdom grow unless each one of us steps forward with what you've entrusted to us. Oh, Lord, would you speak to us about your church, about your body? Father, we ask that we would dwell in your presence. We don't want to be about just some organizational chart. We don't want to be about just a memorized block of theology. Lord, we want to be in your presence. Would you pour out your spirit upon us, Father? Would you come and pour out your spirit upon us, Lord? Not because we deserve it, Lord, but for the sake of your kingdom, for your name's sake. You have put your name on us. We are known as Christians. We are known as your people. The world around us looks at us and says, ah, that's what God's kingdom is like. Oh, God, for the sake of your fame, for the sake of your future, for the sake of your name, for the sake of your plans, Lord, would you pour out your spirit upon us and empower us to rise to your glory, Lord. Empower us to rise to your great things, Lord. Empower us to walk forward, forcefully advancing your kingdom, Lord. Come, Lord Jesus. We don't look like that right now, Father. We ask that you would do a supernatural work in our midst, Lord, that you would change us from where we are now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.